Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, The Fulfillment of the Old Testament in the New. Thank you to everyone who participated in the service. The scripture reading is Romans 15, 1-4. Happy birthday to Ruth, Mary, and Dorothy.
We wish to welcome everyone here this morning. Few in numbers, our students are not with us, but we're glad that you're here. A few announcements this morning as we begin. And birthdays. Daniel, somebody named Kathy, Raphael. So we wish people a happy birthday. Wednesday night class, when anxiety overwhelms. And so we are being led in discussion by Paul, and the details are there Wednesday, 7:30. Community Service Day. If you're interested in having a group of students to assist you at your house, please get in touch with Stacy. You can see the details there. And the program is from May 8th, 8:30 to 3 p.m. Students will come and do some work. Ask also that you remember Owen Belton's family after her passing in your prayers. And some of you came and visited Len, which was appreciated, and Len and Dorothy, and they still appreciate some visits. It's something that they still appreciate. Anyway, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the blessings of this life. We realize that there can be challenges and difficulties that come to everybody on this planet. We live in an imperfect place, but yet you have helped perfect it in each of our lives because of Jesus and his sacrifice. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to embrace this gift, help us to permeate our souls, to affect our behavior, to cause us to be salt and light in this world. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to give you the honor and glory that you are due in our worship service this morning. Help us, as we meet around the table, to reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, and the hope that that resurrection gives each of us in our own eternity with you. Father, we pray that you will help us to be receptive to the needs of others. We thank you for so many people doing so many good things in this congregation, helping in various ways. We pray that you will help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear the needs that are around us, and help us to have a heart of compassion and responsiveness as we interact with others in this community. We pray that you'll be with us today in our worship. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
You notice some of us around here wear name tags. And at advanced age, sometimes they come in handy. Hi, my name is, and fortunately they're written on both sides, Ed, that'd be my name. Dave was saying this morning that on the front it says, I'm here to help, and on the back, on his side, it says, I need help. You know, memory is an interesting thing. As you fade back into the past, you can probably identify events in your life that were rather significant. And I think in some ways that we're a sum total of all of the things that have happened to us and how we think about them. But I think it's even more complicated than that, because there's a lot of things that we've experienced and we think about those, but there are lots of things that we've imagined in our lives as well. Well, we're drawn together weekly, and part of it is about remembering. Remembering. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Wow. God in the flesh. God in the flesh. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah recorded the following. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one who, from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. He was esteemed. We esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils of the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And we read in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6, he is not here. He is risen, just as he said. The scriptures are inspired by God, and these etch memories into our consciousness. Into the words that we have read for our benefit. Always remember what Jesus did for you and commit your life to him. It's the least that we can do for everything that Jesus endured and for everything that he did for us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we cannot imagine what a sacrifice it must have been to send your son to this world, that he be rejected, that he be scorned, that he be experience pain and ridicule and scorn, to die a horrible death in order to make your presence known on this planet, that we might know that there is a God, that there is a God that loves us, and we are thankful for that gift. And we pray, Father, that we might remember it as we live our lives, that we might remember who we are serving and who we're trying to follow in our work, in our daily activities, in our relationships. We pray that we might reflect the same kind of love and commitment that Jesus demonstrated so vividly with his life and with his death and with his resurrection. To this end, Father, please bless us as we remember him at this time, as we remember the broken body and the shed blood and the reason that the sacrifice was made for us. We pray your blessing on us now as we partake together as a community. In Jesus' name, amen.
This week's scripture reading is Romans 15, verses 1 to 4. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for being with us today. The sermon this morning is going to be a little different. There are so many prophecies regarding Jesus from the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament, but some of them are difficult to grasp. I wrestled over a lot of these scriptures this past week. Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15 is a curious scripture. And it said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. Old Testament. But then to bring that up to the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 20, an angel said to Joseph, take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then the second interesting scripture, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But that was prophesied way back in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, when it says, but you, Bethlehem, out of you will come for me a ruler of Israel. And then in the New Testament, we know who this is. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. So this might not be an exciting sermon at all, but the reality is we're passing generation and generation and generation and generation. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years pass, and yet they will all be fulfilled. It says also in Isaiah that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Chapter 7, 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Hundreds of years before it ever took place. And Matthew says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said, that the virgin will be with a child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. So beautiful. which means God is with us. Thousands of years ago, bring it right up to today, God is, say it with me, with us. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. Right from the beginning of creation, it was in God's mind who we are, when we would be born, how faithful we are to the Lord, and all the gracious goodness that he gives to us. So it's pretty cool to go through some of these Old and New Testaments back and forth. In the Messiah would come from the line of Abraham. Again, way back in Genesis 22 and 18, though your offspring through your offspring, listen, all nations on earth will be blessed. And then the fulfillment, Romans 9 and verse 5. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all. So interesting to look at how these all come together as one. And then the Messiah would be heir to King David's throne, back in Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So way back in the Old Testament, Isaiah is saying these words, and then the fulfillment takes place. In the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 3, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of King David, and who through the Holy Spirit of holiness was declared with power, listen, to be the Son of God. How? By his resurrection from the dead. Hundreds of years ago, it was spoken, and the reality takes place. I just think it's really important. This scripture we use at Christmas time, I'll read it again. To me, it's just beautiful. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing up, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. And then in Romans 1, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. And for us too. See, thousands of years can go by, but the reality can happen to us. It says the Messiah's throne would be anointed and eternal. Spoken in Psalm 45 and verse 7. God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Then Luke says in the New Testament, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. So what's interesting about that is when he says, the kingdom will never end. Have you ever stopped to think that we are part of that kingdom? That our ancestry, right from the beginning in Genesis, all the way up until now, God already knew it. God so loved the world that he gave his son. He's with us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. See, we can look at Old Testament scripture and New Testament scripture and say, well, that's good information. But it's more than information. It is our life reality. God who knows us. who knew the exact times and days where we would be born. It's all part of this. So is there a division between Old and New Testament? Well, yeah, but no, but yeah. It's all together as one. The Messiah would be sent into the world to heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And then it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach the good news to the poor, and has appointed me to preach the good news to the poor and the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then in the New Testament, it's revealed. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And we can read through the New Testament how Jesus comes along and fulfills that over and over and over again. And then interesting, regarding little children, the Messiah would be praised by little children. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 2. Love this. "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise." Some of us remember, even though some of us are getting older, we remember when our babies were born. And we will always remember the first smile. It stays with you forever. There's that smile. We are looking into the face of God. It is precious. Spoken of in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament, and our reality today. "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise." And then I love what Jesus says. Jesus loves the children. Jesus said, "Did you hear what the children are saying?" They replied, "Yes." And Jesus said, "From the lips of children and babies, you have ordained praise." That's one of the great church experiences of all time, when you see the smile and the giggle of a baby. And then the Messiah, unfortunately, would be betrayed, as we know. But it was spoken way back in the Old Testament. Psalm 41 and verse 9, "Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted his heel against me." And the fulfillment of that is in Luke 22, 47 and 48. "While Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked," as if Jesus didn't already know, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And he was. The thought the Messiah would be falsely accused. Psalm 35:11. "Ruthless witnesses come forward." And then the fulfillment in Mark 14. "Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, 'I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days we'll build another, not made by man.' Yet even on their testimony, they did not agree." It wasn't a physical building. It's a spiritual building. Our spiritual building. And then in Isaiah, the Messiah would be spat upon. hundreds and hundreds of years before this takes place. Isaiah speaks of this. Excuse me. He says, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, because the sovereign Lord helps me. The Messiah, in Psalm 35:19, would be hated without cause. Let no one gloat over me who are my enemies without cause. Let not those who hate me without reason maliciously wink the eye. They do not speak peaceably, but devise false accusations. And so John fulfills that. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me, Jesus, and my Father. But this is to fulfill what was written in their law. They hated me without cause. There was no reason. And yet Jesus was going to give his life for those who didn't believe in him, for those who hated him, for those who made fun of him. And the reality is, Jesus was with them all the time, and they just didn't get it. So over and over and over again, we can go back to the Old Testament and say, hey, this was prophesied about. So the Messiah would be mocked and ridiculed. Psalm 22, all who mock me, they hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And then Luke chapter 23, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. Then the Messiah would pray for his enemies. You remember on the cross, Jesus was forgiving them even there. That the Messiah would pray for his enemies. Psalm 109, in return for my friendship, they accuse me, they attack me, but I'm a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hated my friendship. And then Jesus says, I know. So Jesus says, vengeance on them. No. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus came for them. Jesus came for us. Jesus is with us, even now. I don't know if heaven is hearing this. I don't know who people whom we love are going to see again someday. But we understand they were all part of all of this. The Messiah would be resurrected from the dead. And it was spoken way back in Psalms. But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself. Way back in Psalms. And then Matthew 28, of course. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. And then the Messiah would ascend into heaven, spoken about back in Psalms 24, 7 through 10. And it's interesting the way it's written. He says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And then y'all know these words. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift you up, ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The Lord Almighty is the King of glory. Profound. So Mark 16, after the Lord Jesus has spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven. He sat at the right hand of God. Then disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. We can't just read these words, I don't think, without realizing that we're attached to all of this, that God is with us always and everywhere. Wherever we go, he goes, maybe even ahead of us. And then it's talked about Jesus is our sacrifice for sin. But again, Isaiah spoke about this long before it happened. He took our infirmities, carried our sorrows. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by his wounds, somebody help me, we are healed. Not just physical wounds, spiritual, emotional. So let me just conclude this sermon. I hope it hasn't been too confusing, but I found it so interesting, the old and the new, and yet all coming together as one. In Romans chapter 5, it says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were and while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And then with the fulfillment in these scriptures, Romans chapter 8. Precious, precious. There is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Others may condemn you. Others may make fun of you. Others may be very difficult. Not in the eyes of Jesus. There's no more condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Now to him, and this is the promise, now to him who is able to establish you by the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. And then these last words, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank Don for his message this morning. We hope that it's been an encouragement to be here. And we hope you have a good week. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being together as your children this morning. We pray that you will help us take the lesson to heart, knowing that you have had a plan for this world and for mankind from the very beginning, and that through Jesus, all the promises have been fulfilled. We pray that you'll be with us as we go out this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.